Hi, and welcome to the very first The Game's Gone podcast with me, Tom Ross. Just a quick reminder, if you don't like bad language, this ain't the place for you, okay? So just to let you know that. Delighted on this very first one, which will be going out every week, by the way. Every Tuesday morning, you'll get the new podcast. But my first guest, and I couldn't be more pleased, it's the inimitable Barry Fry. Bazza, how are we?
I'm brilliant, mate. Still fat and happy. There ain't many of us left.
Well, there's two here, that's for sure. Yeah. Dunstable, Hillington Borough, I think it was, Bedford, Barnet, Maidstone, Southend, Birmingham City and Peterborough. I mean, you've been around the block management-wise.
Yeah, something like that. You could say, Tom, that I started at the very top. Because I played for England schoolboys six times. I scored five goals. Wow. One of those goals was at Wembley in front of 95,000 people when we beat Scotland 5-3.
Brilliant.
In the England team that day was Len Badger. He went to Sheffield United, played over 500 games. Ronnie Harris, who I roommated with, and, of course, David Pleat. And playing for Scotland that day was Bobby Moncur, who was the last captain of Newcastle when they won a trophy, and George Graham. So all them went on to become great players or great managers. I went on to become a has-been that never was, Tom.
But you were at Man U, though, as a kid, as a youth player.
Yeah, when I left school, I went to Man United. I could have went to any club in the country. I went up there for a week, and Nobby Stiles looked after me. He was brilliant. And I went to a youth game. I went to Davey Hume Golf Club to have a pre-match meal with them. And Nobby Stiles sold me Man United, absolutely sold me it. So I joined there as an apprentice for a couple of years, and then they signed me pro for another two. Four wonderful years. I didn't make it, but...
Why, Baz? Why didn't you make it?
I think because George Best, Dennis Law, Bobby Charlton. There's a lot of great players in front of me, Tom. I scored a couple of hat-tricks for the youth team. We won a couple of tournaments in Switzerland. I scored the winning goal against Juventus and... The Italians ripped the shirt off me back when I headed it in and dived into the... And they all jumped on top of me. But it was all great experiences.
Well, we'll come to that a bit later. You and Italy have history, of course. So we'll talk about that.
Yes.
We'll talk about that in a bit. But obviously, I think you're probably best known for your management. And particularly, Dunstable was that a great learning curve for you?
Well, Tom, to be honest, when I was at United, I got kicked in the teeth and I bled all night and the pillow was all red. And then early 20s, I had a knee and a thigh, which turned into a hematoma, which is a blood clot. And, you know, I was on crutches 4 or 5 months then. Then I returned and got another blood clot in the other leg, another hematoma, and to be fair to the doctors, they advised me to pack up. Well, Tom, when you're just 20-odd and you feel fit as a fiddle, you don't really take any notice. However, I since then, I've obviously had two heart attacks and Christ knows what, but so they was right to advise me to pack up, but you can't. So I went into management very, very early at Dunstable. I was only 28. And they offered me the job. We'd finished bottom of the league for 8 years on the trot. And I took over in March 74. And guess where we finished? We finished bottom again, Tom. But in the summer, I got hold of my mate, George Best. I went to his nightclub, Slack Alice, in Manchester one Sunday night. And I went, George, I need a huge favour. Would you come and guest for me in a couple of pre-season friendlies? So he said, yeah, no problem, Baz. So he said, where are you? I said, Dunstable Town. He went, oh, there might be a problem. I said, I thought there would. And he said, Tommy Docherty's still got my registration at Man United. So I said, no problem. I'll go and see him at the Cliff in the morning. So I went to the Cliff and see Tommy. I see Paddy Crowan first, who was there at United when I was a player for the 4 years. He took me upstairs to meet the boss. Paddy was assistant at the time. He said, "What can I do for you, son?" I said, "You can allow me to play George Best in 2 pre-season friendlies." He said, "What club are you with?" I said, "Dunstable Town." He said, "What makes you think you can get Bestie to play at Dunstable Town and I can't get him to play here at Old Trafford?" Anyway, he agreed. So he said, "Who's your opponents?" I said, "I haven't got anybody yet." So then he said, "I'll bring a Man United 11.
Wow.
Tom, my first 2 gates at Dunstable was 37 people and 43 people. So this was pre-season. So we had Manchester United down, George Best guesting for Dunstable Town v Man United 11. There was 10,000 inside Creasy Park, another 10,000 outside in the High Street. Couldn't get in. And we was on news at 10, and we beat the bastards 3-2, and Dunstable had arrived.
And, of course, you also got Jeff Astle.
Before that, Tom, I'd got Jeff. Jeff played in the game, and he was brilliant. And that year, we got promotion. Jeff Astle, king of West Bromwich, king of Dunstable, got 34 goals. It was absolutely different class. And Jeff was having a testimonial at West Brom later that, and he asked me to ask Bestie, would he guest in that? And he did. He was brilliant for us, Bestie. He played 3 or 4 times. And he started me off on my career because the publicity that generated was unbelievable, Tom. And it allowed me to attract a few players. We won promotion, scoring 103 or 105 goals. It was marvellous, you know what I mean? And that started my career in management. And it lasted 32 years, Tom.
Unbelievable.
And I know, and you know, that when I look back, I think, God, how did I last that long? There's only so far bullshit can take you, mate.
But I mean, I knew about Best at Dunstable, but you sort of never heard much of you till you ended up at Barnet. And then all you were in the news for was being sacked.
Yeah, that's right. Stanley sacked me 34 times. It's on record 7, but he actually sacked me 34 times. Obviously, I had a problem because I used to go in the next day. He never said nothing. I never said nothing. So I just carried on. He was a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Stan was. He was amazing. Very supportive, very generous one minute, and evil Knievel bastard the next. Incredible.
Is it? I mean, I've often heard this, but I still don't believe it, that he actually threatened to kill a player with a gun.
Well, he did. That was unbelievable because we played at home and we had to win the game to go top of the league. We were playing Boston and we drew 0-0. We drew 0-0. And I went in the dressing room after the game. I went, "Well done, lads, well done. Brilliant. Play like that, we'll win the league. You know, we missed this, we missed a penalty, hit the post, hit the bar, done everything but score." So I said, "Don't worry, you've done brilliant, well done." With that, the dressing room door comes off its hinges and big fat Stan, 39 stone of him, waddles in and he went, "You lot are taking the piss out of me." And I went, "Stan, I've just told them they've done well. You know, and if we play like that, we win the league." "You don't know what you're talking about, Fry. And you, Willis, you'll never kick a ball for me again." So Harry turned to me and went, "What are you picking on Harry for? Didn't you see him, Fry? He hit the woodwork 3 times on purpose." I went, "Fuck off, Stan. Nobody hits the woodwork on purpose. Harry, don't take no notice of him. You come Tuesday night and play against Watford in the Art Senior Cup final." He's gone ballistic then. He went, "Harry, if you come in this ground, if you park in the car park, I'll have my mates and they'll have baseball bats and they'll smash you over the head. They'll smash your body. They'll smash your legs. And if you're still standing, my mate will have a machine gun and he'll shoot you to death. Well, Harry just went, he still had his shirt, shorts, socks and boots on. So he picked his suit up, he picked his shoes up and he's walking out the dressing room door. I said, see you Tuesday, Harry. He turned around, he went, you fucking won't. Anyway, come Monday, I phoned Harry up. I went, all right, Harry. He went, no. I said, look, don't take the notice of that fat bastard. He won't be here Tuesday. Harry said, no, nor will I, gaffer. I went, what are you talking about? I said, if you don't come, you see, I'll see in your cup final. If you don't come, I'll fine you 2 weeks' wages. Harry said, keep the money. At least I'll be alive. Anyway, he got to Tuesday, phoned him up again. I went, Harry, I'm telling you, he'll be too embarrassed to come tonight. I need you. We've got Gary Bull injured. We've got Peter Brown injured. They're having fitness tests. I need you. It's the Art Senior Cup final. You've got to come. But if you come, don't park in the players' car park. Park in the cricket pavilion in the corner. And half an hour to go, if Flashman ain't here, Gordon, my kit man, will open the door. Well, that's what happened, Tom. Harry come, put his kit on, got out there. Oi, we won 5-2. Harry Willis got hat-trick. So we're in the dressing room after the game drinking champagne. And the door opens and in walks Brian Ayres, the secretary. I went, all right, Brian. He went, yeah. He said, Harry, Stan wants you. Well, Harry's looked at me when you told me, weren't it? I said, I didn't think he was it. Where is he, Brian? He said, he's on the phone. I said, they are, Harry. He's only on the phone. So Harry went down the corridor and all the lads are left and they're going, fucking hell. Fucking hell. Anyway, Harry comes back beaming from ear to ear. And the lad says, Harry, what did Stan say? So Harry said, Stan says, Harry, go back and tell that fat, useless bastard Fry that's the way to motivate your players.
Brilliant. You couldn't make it up. But you went, I mean, I think everybody in football began to really take notice with that Southend side you had. I mean, you had goals galore, weren't they?
Yeah, when I went there, on April the 1st, can you believe that? I'd left Barnet. We hadn't been paid by Stan again, and they owed me a lot of money, and, you know, we'd gone missing and what have you, and we were safe. We was getting promoted anyway at Southend. So, at Barnet, rather. So I had to go to Southend, and we had, I think, 9 games to go. The deadline had gone, so obviously it was very difficult. I had to deal with the same players. But in the last 9 games, I'd done a similar thing at Birmingham when I went there. But we won 6, drew 2, lost 1. And we stayed up. And we was like 7-8 similar points away from the safety when I took over. My first game was against Sunderland away, and I took the lads to a nightclub the night before. Big Jobson, the chairman, thought I'd gone off me trolley. He thought it was the shortest rain in management ever. So I said, Vic, what you been doing on a Friday anyway? He said, oh, we go overnight. The lads are in bed by 9:30. I said, well, you're bottom of the league. It ain't doing you much good, is it, mate? Took the lads out to a nightclub. We only drank soft drinks, but it got their minds. And they was brilliant. I had Stan Collymore, Brett Angel. We beat them. Then we came back and played West Ham, who was top of the league by a mile. And we beat them 1-0. Stan Collymore, great run, great cross. And Brett Angel bundled it in. We escaped relegation. We was unbelievable. But, of course, at the end of the season, as I promised Stanley, I sold him to Knox Forest. 2.2 million. We eventually got over 4 million because we had 250 grand if he got 25 goals. He did 250 grand if he got promotion with Forest, which he did. 250 grand if he got an England cap, which he did, and 15% of a sell-on. So that was a brilliant deal for me. The following year, we was odds-on favourites to get relegated, but I'd got a good side together and we played really, really well, scoring lots of goals and all that. And that's when, in December, Birmingham come in for me. And although Birmingham was bottom of the league, well adrift at the time, and we were second in the Championship at Southend at the time, once I'd met Karen, talked to David Sullivan, David Gold, there was only one place I wanted to be. I thought it was a sleeping giant, and we had really going for a bad spell at the time. I think our last home game, we only had 4,000. I'm talking about Birmingham now. We only had 4,000. I remember my first game was against Charlton. I think we had 18, 19,000. Kenny Lowe got a great goal. That's all he done, bless him, but he got a great goal that day.
The non-league Glenn Oddle.
We played the Baggies over Christmas and won 2-0 at home, or 2-1. So it was a magnificent start for me. I think there was 25,000 at that game. And, you know, and we had a great run. Like I say, we done some fabulous displays all over the country, and we got a good reputation. We went to Tranmere last game of the season, all the blue noses dressed up in fancy dress, wonderful. We had to win that game. We did win that game 2-1. But unfortunately, Jim Smith was manager of Portsmouth at the time, and he rang me on a Friday and said, "Baz, we're playing West Brom, and you know I love the Blues, but I've got 7 of my first team players out. I don't think I've got a cat and hell's chance." So they lost 1-0 to West Brom, and West Brom stayed up, and we went down on goal difference.
Yeah, and you were cheered off by the fans. You've been relegated, well, and they've cheered you off.
The police come into our dressing room and we was gutted. You know, a lot of players was crying and really upset, really emotional. And the copper said, "Look, can you please come out? Can your players please come out? Because all the crowds are on the pitch and all that, all the blue noses." I mean, we must have took 3,000 to Tranmere, and there was 3,000 outside, couldn't get in. It was amazing scenes. Anyway, we went back, we went out, and they sort of ran at me, Tom. And I thought, "Oh, my God, they're going to kill me. We just got relegated." And they pissed me up, put me on their shoulders and paraded me round the ground singing songs, "Keep Right On." I mean, I had a lump in my throat of fucking relegation. And then I went, "Oh," so I had to repay them. So, of course, like an idiot, the following year, you do an interview before you kick a ball. And I said, "I'll win the double this year. I'll win the league and I'll win the auto windscreen." Of course, we did both.
Yeah.
But, wow, what a roller coaster ride it was. But it was wonderful. And we had, again, we had great goals. We used to go forward, score lots of goals. The best, I think, that year was when we played Blackpool. I think Sam Allardyce was in charge. We beat them 7-1.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was nearly 20,000 at that. And the last two games we had at home with Bradford City and Brighton, 25,000 sellouts, both games. And we never won. We never won them. We drew. We drew 3-3 and 0-0. So we had to go to Huddersfield to win the last game of the season. And Neil Warnock was in charge of Huddersfield. So we went there, and thanks to Paul Tate, and also thanks to Steve Claridge, who had a wonderful season. We won there 2-1 and won the league. Prior to that, we'd been at Wembley, 78,000 people, 55,000 blue noses winning the auto windscreen shield. What a day out that for everybody. And it was also the first time there'd ever been a golden goal Do you remember?
Paul Tate.
And God bless him, Ricky Otto, who'd been a disaster for me, bless him, ran down the left wing, beat a couple, crossed it, and Tatey headed it in. Tatey got one of the goals at Huddersfield as well. And I was delighted because Paul Tate, Birmingham City boy, Birmingham City youth, come through the academy, and it was ironic that he helped us, you know, last game of the season win the league after scoring the winning goal at Wembley. And, you know, that caused me a lot of problems as it happened because he took his shirt off and underneath the shirt was something about the Villa. Because we was playing Brentford on the Tuesday or the Wednesday, who was top of the league and we were second at the time, I asked the board, could we celebrate in London? And they said no. So I didn't take any notice and took all the lads out to the Swallow Hotel and we stayed the night and had a bit of celebration there. And during the night, I got a phone call from Karen. And Karen called me all the names under the sun. And then she accused me. I didn't know nothing about it at the time. She said Doug Ellis had been on her and been on to her and all this and all that. And what Tatey had on his shirt, she accused me of giving every player one of them shirts to wear under. So whoever scored produced it. I didn't know nothing about it, Tom. I really didn't know nothing about it. So once again, I got blamed for something that Tatey drew up. But because he's a Birmingham City boy, Birmingham City, the history of our friends across the road, Villa, you know, the supporters loved him for that. I nearly got the sack because of
that. Well, I mean, that relationship with David Sullivan, David Gold and Karen Brady, I mean, it was a great relationship, but it had its moments as well, didn't it? I remember, didn't you criticise David Sullivan on the telly and that caused you grief?
Oh, God, yeah. I had a hell of a job signing Jose Dominguez, right? I got recommended by him and I phoned Bobby Robson up at the time, who was working in Portugal, and he said, yeah, take him all day long, Baz. But I've got a thing about, I don't like watching videos, you know what I mean? I want to see the bloke in the flesh. So I said, Dave Hodgson, the ex-Liverpool man, was his agent at the time. I said, David, I've got to see him. He said, okay, put him up in a hotel, have a game, and, you know, see what you think. So I spoke to Karen, and I said, look, I've got been recommended this player and all that, but I want to see him live. Can I have him over? Can you pay a week's hotel expenses? She said, no, I can't. So when Karen, I'm telling you, this boy's a player. I've seen him, but I want to see him, you know, in the mud and the bullets and all that. So she said, no. So I told her, David, I went, David Hodgson, this is, I said, look, will he pay his own expenses to come over to Birmingham? So he said, no, but I will pay it. So I went back to David Sullivan. I said, David, I've got this fella coming over. Karen's refused to pay his hotel accommodation, but if we sign him, will you reimburse him? So he said, yeah, I'll do that because we won't be signing anybody else, Barry. So I went, okay, that's fair enough. Anyway, Jose came over and he was a world beater in training. Everybody tried to kick him and he was his balance and his quickness and his feet. Oh, he was a dream, Tom. So I pretended to have a practice match. And I said to Karen, oh, you better come and see this boy in a practice match at St Andrews, you know, 1 o'clock. Well, did have a practice match, but it was at 11 o'clock and he was brilliant. So I got all the lads to say, when you see Karen coming in, tell her how brilliant Dominguez was. You know. So, of course, she's coming storming into my office. You've had the game. I went, yeah, didn't I tell you 11 o'clock? She went, no, you told me one. I went, oh, well, it's just finished. He was brilliant. She said, yes, I know, everybody's telling me. So I said, I need to get hold of David Sullivan. She went, come in my office. So I went in her office. She got him. She said, David, Barry's had this game. This boy, Dominguez, was brilliant. And, you know, he wants to talk to you about signing him. So I got on to David, and David said, look, I told you, Baz, I told you that we're not buying anybody else. So I said, yeah, I know you did, but this is an exceptional player, David. And if I said to you, right, if I said to you, give me 80 grand and I'll make you a million, what would you do? He said, I'd give you 80 grand. I said, well, give me it. We're signing Jose Dominguez. So we did. So anyway, before we played, funny enough, Peterborough in a live television game, Karen called me in the office on the Monday and she said, oh, David's upset about this boy, Dominguez. You know, he thinks he's a jockey, thinks you've made a mistake. He wants you to sack Lil Fuchillo, who was a scout at the time and who had first given me the contact of David Hodgson. So I said, oh. I said, does he? I said, well, Karen, to be honest, I said, if Lil goes, I go. And if I go, you'll go because you sanctioned the deal as well after you've seen him play in that game. No, she said, all right, I'm just telling you what David said. So we left it. So we played Peterborough on live on television. We win 4-0. Claridge misses a penalty. And Gary Newbond is doing the thing. So he's got me in it. He got me in after the game. He's showing me the goal. He went, what about this Dominguez goal, Barry? Look, he's got it in his own half. He's played a 1-2, and then he's gone and beat two. Then he's played another 1-2, and then he scored a great goal. Oh, I bet the owners are delighted with you to get him. So I said, well, funny enough, I got called in the office this week and they were telling me he was a jockey, not a footballer. But, you know, David Sullivan, he don't know a goal line from a clothesline. Well, so I mean, I'm under the shower, right? And Gordon, the kit man, comes to me. He said, Karen's at the door. She wants to see you. I said, what about? He said, we want to see you now. I said, tell her I'll be up in a minute. I'm having a shower. So he goes, and then he comes straight away. She wants to see you now. So I'm dripping wet, come out the shower, put a towel down me, go outside. She says, get in there, which is the boot right next door to the dressing room, is the boot cupboard. So we went in there. I thought my luck had changed, Tom. And she gave me the biggest bollocking I've ever had. She said, how dare you say that about the chairman? You know, he was having a cup of coffee, and when you said he don't know a goal line from a clothesline, he dropped his cup in a boardroom floor and walked out. She said, I want to see you in my office at 9 o'clock in the morning. I got a bollocking.
But he was a great player. Great player for Birmingham and Spurs, of course, consequently.
Well, Tom, I sold him for 1.6 million. You know, so, you know, it was a great... I think we bought him from Benfica for 80. We sold him to Sporting Lisbon for 1.6. Fantastic deal.
How difficult as a manager? And you're definitely a player's manager. I mean, you're a player's manager. I've seen you at work. How difficult was it managing a great little player like Paul Pesky Salido, who'd got a relationship with your boss? How difficult was that for you?
Well, I was the last to know about it. Everybody knew about it but me. You know what I mean? Well...
They're married now and happy and kids and it's great. But at the time...
Pesh is a player. Pesh is a player was brilliant for me. Absolutely brilliant. In the end, I have to sold him to Stoke. But in the end, again, I bought him back. And then I think Trevor sold him to West Brom. Mm. So we make a lot of money out of Pesh. And if you asked any player that it's Stoke, West Brom, Derby, Fulham, wherever he went, every player liked him. He's the most likeable bloke you could ever wish to meet. And also on the football field, he gave you 150%. As a manager, you couldn't wish for anything more than that. But obviously, when a player's... Mind you, to be fair, they're both single. But it caused a problem in the dressing room. And I did say to Karen that one of you had to go. And so we sold Pesh.
No.
It was an awkward thing, and all the players knew about me because I'd only just gone there. There was nothing wrong with it. I just thought, you know, I don't know. I just thought it was an awkward situation for everybody.
For everybody, spot on. Just one more thing at Birmingham, and that was. And I can't get away from it. It's the Battle of Ancona. I mean, that still sticks in my mind, Barry. The craziest times.
We by the way, I had a brilliant record in Italy, apart from that. As you know, we won the game, but they had a crazy manager who kept running on the field, threatening my players. Having a go at Alzi, having a go at Ed Steen, my assistants and coach. And he was just a crazy man. And anyway, we beat them. And the Birmingham fans that come out on the plane, which you was one, Tom, was brilliant. And in Ancona, you go down steps, walk along a tunnel and go up steps to the dressing room. So we're all at the thing, clapping all our supporters above us, right? And then all of a sudden, I look down and I see Daishi walking towards all their players. All their players and their manager was at the end of this tunnel. And Daishi's walking there by himself. So I've shouted, "Daishi, wait for us!" And he's turned around and says, "I don't need any of you lot." So with that, Tatey tries to push past me and breaks two fingers. We all run after Daishi. Daishi's going up the stairs, and all these guys, he's not frightened of nothing, Liam. So he's going up these stairs towards these guys, and then the manager who's caused all this racket, comes in front of the players to have a go at Daishi. Well, the manager finishes up on the floor. All the other Ancona players run into the dressing room. We come charging along. The manager's on the floor. We all tread over him. Daishi's at the dressing room door going, "Come out, you bastards, come out." So anyway, We go in our dressing room, it's all calmed down, and the police come. And David Gold's there as well, he's in the dressing room. And the police come and blah, 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 blah. So Lil Fucillo, who was my under-21s manager at the time, was with us, he speaks Italian. So he said, Baz, we're in trouble here. I said, "Lil, I don't speak Italian, but I could have told you that." We had to give all our passports up. David Gold was there. He was brilliant, to be fair. He was sort of calming everybody down and all that. And then we heard this rumpus, and we opened the dressing room door, and their managers on a stretcher being wheeled out with God knows what round him, you know, drips and all this and all that. So we thought, wow, we're in right trouble here. So anyway, eventually we stayed there. We had a shower, got ready and all that, and we was in. And the police come and got us and marched us onto the coach. And then, of course, the coach took us to the airport. And then we stood in there for about, I don't know how long. We got our passports back. We finally got through. And then I think you asked me a funny question, Tom, didn't you?
Yeah, I can remember it to this day saying, Barry, what happened? And your words were, I didn't see anything. Typical. That was, well, that was apprentice Arsene Wenger.
Honest, after that, Tom, after that, I'd left the club. I'd got the sack by then, and I got a phone call from David Howells, Liam Daish, and Jono. And they said, Baz, the club won't help us. We've got to go to Italy for a hearing about this thing. So I said, I'll come over, no problem. Okay. So I spoke to Brendan Baxter. You know Brendan Baxter, yeah. Who was at the PFA. I said, yeah, I'll do it. I spoke to Gordon Taylor. I'll go over there. If the club's not supporting the lads, I will. Blah, blah, blah. So then I speak to Liam Daish. And I said, Daishy, I'm with you. What's your name? He said, Baz, I'm not going. I said, you're not going? He went, no, I'm not leaving the country. I'm not going out there. So I said, okay. So then I ring Halsey, and Halsey's running a bar in Ayanapa at that time. I said, Halsey, Daishy ain't coming, but I'll be with you out in Italy next week and all that. He said, oh, I'm not going, Baz. I said, you what? He said, I'm not going. Anyway, the other one, John, I think it was, he weren't going either. So all three of them ducked out of it. So I ducked out as well, Tom.
I mean, there's so many Birmingham stories, but, you know, you were sacked by the club, and I think that was hard work for David Gold particularly, because you're still very good friends with David Gold. And, I mean, you went to Peterborough and you rescued Peterborough. How bad was it at the time?
Well, I've got to say that when I left Birmingham, I didn't see it coming, Tom. I just did not see it coming. We played, if you remember, we played it the night of the Argus Sports event. We played in the Birmingham Senior Cup final at St Andrews against Villa. Yes. Now, Alan Jones told me we hadn't won that competition for 17 years, but we beat Villa 2-0, fiery game. I think we finished up with 9 players. The Birmingham Senior Cup is the biggest cup I've ever seen. It's huge. So after the game, I took that cup to the Sports Argus Awards in Birmingham at the Hyatt, right? So I walk in with this cup, and at the top table is Doug Ellis, David Gold and Ralph Gold. So I put it on the table and Doug says, thank you very much. I went, what do you mean, thank you very much? I said, we beat you 2-0. It ain't yours. It's David Gold's and Ralph Gold's. He didn't like that, the way he dug. So anyway, after that, I'd missed the meal and everything. After that, we was having a drink. Now, David Gold, win, lose, or draw, always had a drink with me on a Friday before the game. He always come up. I sat with the players, but I waited for a meal to have with him and Ralph. They used to go up. I used to sit with David Gold. And Gary Newbon come over to us that night to congratulate us on you know, everything. And we'd had a good run in the cup that year as well. We played Liverpool, not yet. You know, we had a good few good things. But since December, where we were second in the championship, we dropped to halfway. And the main reason was that Ian Bennett broke his fingers, if you remember. Dolphin. The physio said he would be out a month. He was out like 4 months. And my squad wasn't good enough to cope with that. So I would have done something about it if I'd known about it earlier and he was going to be out that long. So we did drop down the league quite a bit. However, what they'd done, they allowed me to sign Martin O'Connor and Marcus Stewart. So Gary Newbon come over, he said, what's new for next year? I said, well, in my briefcase, I've got contracts for Martin O'Connor from Walsall and Marcus Stewart, leading goal scorer at Bristol Rovers, absolutely sensational. You know, the board's given me permission to sign these two players. I've signed them. We're waiting for hearing at a tribunal where a fee would be decided. So this was this. But that night, David, for some reason, and Ralph couldn't wait to go away. Right? So I stayed the night at the Hyatt, went in the ground the next morning, went upstairs, sat in my office, made a few phone calls, because that was the night of the LMA golf day and dinner and presentations in the evening at Shopwell House. And I'd invited Jolly Jack, Jack Wiseman, our chairman at the time, to come with me. You know, it's a piss up, really. Have a cigar, have it. It's a good deal. I don't play golf, but he did. So anyway, I was in my office and he walked by my office. Jack never, ever walked by my office. He always come in, he said, swing in, first team's here, you know. Yeah. He was brilliant. He walked by my office. I was on the phone, actually. So anyway, after that, I went out of my office, walked down to say, and he was in Karen's office walking up and down, but Karen wasn't there. So I went in, I said, all right, Jack. No. I said, what's the matter? I can't come today. I said, well, it's only a golf day and a piss up. Don't worry about it. No, he said, you don't understand. I said, I don't understand what he said. He was sobbing. I had to cuddle him. I had to cuddle him.
Wow.
And I said, what's the matter? What's the matter? He said, I can't come with you. You've got the sack. I said, what? He said, you're sacked. So I said, Alan? Alan Jones had an office across the road. So Alan come in. He went, what's the matter? And I was cuddling Jack. I went, he's just told me I got the sack. And I could tell by Alan's face that I had. So I went, what the hell's going on here, lads? Jack, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I understand that. Don't worry about it. All right. Alan, when did I get the sack? He said, oh, a month ago. I said, well, nobody's told me. Well, Tom, I was blown over with a feather. I mean, I phoned David Gold, couldn't get hold of him. Phoned Ralph Gold, couldn't get hold of him. Phoned Karen, couldn't get hold of her. Phoned David Sullivan, couldn't get hold of them. Couldn't get hold of any of them, right? So I went downstairs. Neil, the physio, was there. Said, all right, Gaffer. I went, no, I just got a sack. He said, what for? I said, I ain't got a clue. So anyway, I'm going home from Birmingham to Shopwell House, St Albans, but I thought, I've got to call in and tell the missus that I've got the sack. So I called in, Kirst, and I shouted her upstairs. I went, Kirst, you ain't going to believe this. She said, yeah, you got the sack. You got 84 messages on the message board. I went, bloody hell. So she went, look. You've got to tell the kids. Go and pick the kids up from school. Me and you will pick the kids up from school, especially Adam. You've got to tell them. I went, yeah, okay. Anyway, I tried again to get hold of David Sullivan, David Gold, Karen. Couldn't get hold of them. And went to school. So we picked the kids up. Kirst drove the kids home. I walked home with Adam. Because, you know, he led us out at Wembley Tom, remember? He had all... So, anyway, I took him, walked over. I said, look, well, I got the sack. And he said, why? I said, I don't know, but things happen like this in football, blah, blah, blah. You just got to take it on the chin. One door shuts, another one opens, blah, blah, blah. So I walk all the way home. And when I get home, there's like 20, 30 press cameras, everything. So he runs in the house and I do a press conference. I don't know what to say, you know what I mean? But I need to, I've been told. So then I go in and then I make another phone call to David Sullivan. His PA said he's not there. I said, well, I just want you to tell him one thing. Barry Fry phoned and he said, thanks a million for giving me the opportunity to manage Birmingham City Football Club for the last 2.5 years. I've enjoyed every moment, and thanks a million. So then 5 minutes later, Kirst gets me, she said, David Sullivan's on the phone. And to be fair to David, he didn't give me the reason why I'd gone, but he did say, you know, that's very nice of you. I said, I mean it, David. I've had the best 2.5 years of my life, mate, up and down, I know, but it was brilliant. And thanks for giving me the opportunity of managing a massive club with great support. So that was that. So then I got ready to go to Sopwell House, and as I'm passing Adam's room, he's crying, he's sobbing, you know, kids sob, can't get their breath. So I've gone in there, Kirsty's consoling him, and he's took all the pictures and all the rosettes and all the scarves and the shirts off the walls, all on the floor in a fit, he's ripped them off in anger. I've got a lump on my throat, I'm going down the stairs to the hallway, and my little girl, Anna Marie, is skipping. Goody, 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 daddy's got the sack. Goody, 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 daddy's got the sack. Well, I can't believe it, Tom. Talk about emotions. So I've gone, what's the matter with you, Anna? Why are you glad, you know, that daddy's got the sack? She said, at least I'll see more of you.
Brilliant.
So
brilliant.
Anyway, I've gone to Sopwell House, and to be fair to the LMA, when I arrived, I was a bit late. When I arrived, I got the standing ovation from everybody because I just got the sack that day. And to be fair, Trevor come over to me and he said, you done good at Birmingham, well done and all that. And I said, well, Trev, I know a year ago they wanted you, and they asked you to come in. I know that, and I could have went to Derby at that time before Jim Smith went there, but, you know, you turned it down and blah, blah, blah. So he said, well, they've asked me 5 or 6 times, but it was the wrong time to come in. I went, Trev, you're brilliant for Birmingham. You are Birmingham City. You know, good luck and God bless you, mate. So that was good. And they had asked Trevor. And the only thing I regret is that they should have really, Tom, they should have really called me in the office, all of them, and said, look, Baz, we've got a chance to get Trevor Francis back. He's got here. He's far more professional than you. He's far more knowledgeable than you. He's got the contacts more than you. And I'd have had a glass of champagne with him and think, you know what I mean? But look, Trev came in and they give him a lot of money. He spent a lot of money and he was a nearly man. I felt sorry for him because he loved Birmingham as I love Birmingham, as you love Birmingham, Tom, and he wanted it so bad. And he just didn't quite do it. But that was that. And then, like you say, within 2 weeks, I'd gone to Peterborough. By the way, do you know, I've been at Peterborough 25 years, Tom, since then.
Good grief.
It's 25 years this year, and
why? Tell me why.
And it's 60 years.
Why did you go there?
I'll tell you in a minute. And it's 60 years I've been in the game ever since I left school this year. 60 years in the game.
60
25 years at Peterborough. How lucky am I? I went there.
Well, unbelievable.
I went to Peterborough for my mate, Chris Turner. When I was at Barnet, Chris Turner got the sack at Cambridge. And I phoned him up. I said, he'd loaned me a couple of players and I'd signed a couple of players off me that was very good. Liam Dace was there, actually, and Dace, he come to me when I was at Barnet, play on loan. Dion Dublin come to me from Cambridge on loan. You know, Gary Ball, Chris Ledbetter, he gave me a, you know, loaned me or sold me a lot of good players, Chris. So anyway, when he got the sack, I'm not a tactician. You know, so I said, why don't you come Tuesday, Thursday, put some on free kicks, dead balls, corners, all that. And, you know, because 10% difference makes you win in the league or not, you know. So anyway, Chris come and helped me out for a while like that. Then I got a phone. Then he got a phone call or I got a phone call from John. The owner of Peterborough at the time to see if they could approach him. I went, well, he ain't under contract with me, go to Peterborough. So he went to Peterborough. So I watched quite a lot of Peterborough games, you know, because he was there, as I did when he was at Cambridge. So he phoned me a lot of times, and I eventually rang back, and he was in hospital. He was very ill. He was in hospital in Peterborough. I went to see him, and he said, I don't manage Peterborough. You know, I could have went to Derby a year ago. Or, you know, he said, well, why don't you come here? Me and Alf, who was the chairman at the time, form a holding company. We'll have the holding company, and you can have the football club, and you can buy and sell who you want without going to a board. Well, that appealed to me, Tom, to be honest. Yeah. I thought, well, I've not got to ask anybody. I've not got to blame anybody. I can just be successful or not. Anyway, I soon found out when I went in there was big press, obviously, as you could say. And when I looked at it, they couldn't do the holding company because there was tax implications, which they couldn't think. So I went there and nothing happened the way it was supposed to happen. But everybody in the world thought I was owner of Peterborough United Football Club, which I wasn't, really. Right. And I'd put a lot of money in. The money I got from Birmingham for the sack, I'd put into Peterborough, which I didn't get back either. So it was an absolute nightmare. But Chris was very, very ill, and I'd done it for him, to be honest. And once you're in it, although I took all the stick in the world, I just couldn't walk away from it, Tom. And it got really bad, and I got blamed for it. I mean, we had to, or the board at that time, had to sack two people embezzling money out of Peterborough that I found out. And it was terrible. But I was in Scotland doing a deal, and by the time, there was all things that wasn't right. And when I found out that these people had to leave the club, but we was hundreds and hundreds of thousands less. And because I've got a family and kids and grandchildren, I didn't want to, get the police involved, although I did get the police involved and they told me to prosecute, but I didn't. I couldn't. But that was foolish. I'm not a businessman, Tom. And I made a rod for my own back, and I was there in the shit for years and years and years and couldn't get out of it. I mean, I finished up manager, chairman and owner. I had the whole lot, you know, and I didn't think I'd get out of it, but I did. So somehow I did. Alex Ferguson helped me an enormous lot, but by buying a player, even David Sullivan helping me because he ironically eventually bought Martin O'Connor, who had 10 years at the Blues for Trevor. Although Trevor phoned me up about Martin O'Connor and Marcus Stewart and didn't really know anything about them. So although we'd had contracts, he didn't want them, which was fair enough. You know, all managers want different things and all that. But yeah, the Peterborough thing, it's been a real rough ride.
Could you have lost your house, Barry? I remember you might have lost your house.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt, Tom. I mean, I had a testimonial against the mighty Man United. Sir Alex fetched his full first team down, you know, full house to 15,000. That earned me 258 grand. I put every single penny into it. I took a second mortgage out, 300 grand, I put that into it. I gave the deeds of my mother-in-law's house to the bank so they'd give me an overdraft. I took my pension out early and put that in. When I look back, it's not fair on Kirsten and my six kids that I put them in that position. Not fair at all. No. But she's been wonderful. She's my best signing, Tom. She's backed me through it. She's always had this belief that whatever shit I got myself in, I'd get out of it. And bless her, so far she's been right. So it has been a very strange, emotional, trying time. But and going back to David Sullivan, David Gold, Karen Brady, I've got an open invitation to go to West Ham.
Yeah.
They look after me. I sit in the front row. with David Gold on the halfway line. I have a meal before the game, a meal after. I take my wife, my family. They've treated me absolutely brilliant. And I don't think they got the credit that they deserved when they was at Birmingham, because Birmingham was in the shit when they went in there. Nobody locally would take over. They did, wherever they come from, they did. They give Birmingham City some financial stability at the time, which it needed. He spent money on players, to be fair. They always have. And, you know, to get the stick that they got, I think was uncalled for. And I think a lot of Birmingham City fans now must realise, be careful what you wish for, because I am frightened to death and do not sleep at night, Tom, because of the state Birmingham City's in now.
Wow. Well, I mean, you're still there at Peterborough, and you must have known a lot of chairmen who thought they could be a manager as well. You actually did it. You were a chairman manager, so you actually did it.
An owner. So whatever I spent with my deals, I bought somebody with 25 grand. It was a grand a month for 25 months, Tom.
Naz, you are good at finding players. I mean, did you have the lad, Matty Godden, who's at Coventry?
Yeah, of course.
45 grand, I think you sold him for. He's scoring goals.
Oh, 700 grand. I sold him to Coventry for 700 grand.
Well, but he scores goals, and you have this. I mean, I'm looking at the players. Ian Bennett, still the record goalkeeper at Birmingham City. The players you brought in.
He was my first signing, Tom. He was my first signing at Birmingham City, Ian Bennett.
Do you get the buzz out of finding players and selling them? Is that a buzz for you?
Well, to be quite honest, I've always been at clubs that had to sell the players to offset their losses.
Yeah.
So I've known from Dunstable days, from Barnet days, from Southend days, you know, I had to sell players. You know, I didn't want to sell Stan Collymore. I didn't want to sell Brett Angel. I didn't want to sell Spencer Pryor, but I had to. And at our place, I didn't want to sell Liam Dace. I didn't want to sell Steve Claridge. I didn't want to sell Gary Poole, or I didn't want to sell any of them. But if I get a bid, I put it to the board, and it's up to them. It's their money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And to be fair, at Birmingham, they always used to give me some to invest in other players.
You are 75 now, Baz, and you're still at it.
I am.
You're still at it. What is it?
I love it, Tom.
Will you keep going?
Yeah, I'll keep going. I'll keep saying that if they carry me out, they'll carry me out in a box. But, you know, this game, I'll most probably get the sack again.
I've got to touch on it, you know. You've had a wonderful career. You liked wherever you go. But you fell foul, didn't you, with a little betting infringement?
Well, that was a joke. That,
really?
I mean, what happened with Jack Marriott, in his contract, we give him, if he won the Golden Boot, we'd give him £25,000, right? So that was it. So at the start of the season, Jack Marriott was 40-1 to win the Golden Boot. So I've said to the chairman, we're allowed to get insurance against things like this. So, you know, I think we ought to cover the 25 grand. It'll only cost us a grand, 500 each way. So he said, yeah, okay, do what you want. He thought I was taking up insurance. Well, I went in a bookies, bold as brass, and went, yeah, here's a grand, 500 each way, 40-1 on Jack Marriott thing. It's a contract obligation for Peterborough United. And I got hammered for it. But, you know, I never got a penny out of it. All I was doing was insuring against a contract liability. But they said I should have went to an insurance company. I said I wouldn't have got the odds at an insurance company that I did with a bookmaker. But I'm not supposed to bet, so that was it. So that caused me a lot of grief, Tom. A lot of grief. I was suspended for a month. But the club was fantastic. They supported me because they knew I only done it for the club. Well, but I got done 35 grand fined and 42 grand in costs. So again, I had to get another mortgage out on the old house, Tom, 34th.
Oh, Barry, listen, there are a million Barry Fry stories and they're all wonderful. And, you know, you're still one of the most popular managers of Birmingham, at Peterborough, wherever you've been. So, listen, mate, it's been amazing. I could go on for hours, but we've sort of run out of time. But thank you so much, Baz, as always. And good luck with whatever you're doing. Hope you've enjoyed it as well.